It's just... Let's just see if I'm taking a break to read. The container is now open. This episode is unlike anything we've done, I guess, and it's like kind of maybe irresponsible to post it, but here we go.
So today, Susan Campbell, author of Getting Real and From Triggered to Tranquil, is going to take us through an actual couples coaching session.
Yeah, so you get to peek inside what it's actually like to apply her system in the real world. It shows why romantic partners triggering each other is such a powerful place for healing and personal growth, as long as we know how to take care of ourselves and each other in those hard moments.
And that's what we're going to learn about today. Check out our interview with Susan Campbell on episode 24. To learn more about her work, go to susancampbell.com.
And now, here's a real-life couple coaching session with Susan Campbell.
I say reactive cycle.
Okay. Cool.
I'm so excited to have the Susan Campbell live on air. Not live. Live to tape.
Live to tape.
Live with only a little bit of editing. Walk us through one of the key practices that you've developed for understanding ourselves in relationship. So I feel called to, like, I feel like I've been facilitating this a bit, and I'm like handing everything over through the screen over to, and Susan Campbell has taken it.
Whoa. Okay. So I'm going to guide you through what I call the trigger signature exercise. And the purpose of this is to learn to notice some of the early warning signs that say, whoa, I'm starting to get triggered, so that you can pause sooner. So I want you to think of a time when you were triggered, each of you. You'll each have a separate turn here. It doesn't have to be the same triggering event. Unless you want to, unless it might be useful for you to name one, but I'm actually ambivalent about that, because then we might get into reworking that particular trigger. I don't want to do trigger work with you right now. I just want to do it a little bit more on a observing a pattern level. I think that's a little better for something the audience could actually implement in their own life. Okay, so I made my decision. I was ambivalent. Just you each, think of a time when you were triggered, maybe not the hugest trigger, but kind of a typical trigger reaction.
Together, or just a trigger anytime trigger?
Well, you were triggered with, you know, with your partner. Definitely in the relationship.
Yes, okay.
Those are the important triggers, the ones with your primary partner. So you're going to just, like, breathe and calm yourself a little bit as we get ready to receive a triggering memory. And think of the setting, and just what the other person did or said that stimulated the reaction you had. And see if you, we're going to explore the reaction now. What did you notice first? Let's just ask you to look at, was it a story? You know, that person isn't listening. They never listen. Was it a body sensation, like tightness in your chest, the wish to punch something, Was it a more, have more of an emotional tone, like anger, sadness, giving up? I'll go back over those and then I'll have one more question. Body sensation, feeling, story, like what you made up that it meant about you. And I'm going to give you each a turn to just say that much first, and then we'll go into your reactive behavior would be the next piece, what you actually do or say. But, in retrospect, you can probably identify a body sensation and a feeling and a story, but based on what you said earlier, Sai, in our earlier interview, you said sometimes you've already reacted before you know that you're triggered. But now in retrospect, I'm imagining you can see some of these things that I've asked you to recall. Can you both get an awareness of the body sensations and the feelings and that sort of thing?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Both have that. So let's just each report, and start with reminding your partner of what the incident was. Okay. So we're not going to go deeply into the incident, but I think it would help if your partner knew what you were talking about, you know. So why don't you each take a turn and like speak to your partner. I was triggered at a time when this happened, and these are the things that I noticed about myself in retrospect.
First? Mm-hmm. Okay. I notice in this moment, I'm feeling an awareness of the camera and like that this is being recorded, and I'm wanting to like keep that separate from the disclosure. Okay, the triggering event that came to mind was the one that happened in Costa Rica. Right before we left my dad's. And the sensation that I recall is it was in my like solar plexus area, like moving up into my chest, like a kind of a heaviness that I would label with the word fear or maybe anxiety, but more fear. And the story I was telling myself is that we were on different pages about where we were in our relationship and our commitment to each other. Yeah.
And Sarah, as you now have said those things, just notice how you feel and reveal that.
I feel myself, like I feel a little tightness in my throat. And then I also notice that I'm like really tracking how it's impacting Jonathan. Like there's like maybe a larger part of me that is like tracking the impact, which is making it kind of hard to track my own experience.
Just perhaps you could stay with that for a moment.
Yeah.
Being with that.
A little bit of constriction, like in my body, just tightness. settling.
And sigh, do you have the impulse to ask for anything, like to ask about your impact to Jonathan?
Yeah, I do.
Are there any feelings associated with the idea of asking him for something? Just give you a chance to report that.
I think, yeah, it's weird. I noticed that my thinking is fired up. It's like, do I have that impulse? What could that mean? What will be the consequences of me asking that question? Like, I'm getting, you know, and then I'm like, will he remember it as clearly as I do? Yeah. I'm trying to predict.
Mm.
But I also feel in this moment very settled in my body now. Yeah.
So I'm seeing this as a kind of ambiguous, uncertain moment. And I'm wondering if you do have a request for Jonathan around impact.
Yeah, thank you. I was a little bit like, should I ask? Was that was me saying that I had the impulse enough, or do I need to make the request? Yeah, I do want to know what the impact of me sharing this is, if you're open to that.
Yeah, I am. I think, yeah, I notice I feel a lot of care around that day in general, those events. Yeah, I have stories about like why that is, like because of the time that's passed or something, but I just feel like we both had very bad days together, like side by side, not together. Our days were not bad together, but they were side by side, congruent bad days.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have kind of just thinking about, well, your disclosure kind of returned me to that. And so that's kind of where it put me. It's just sort of remembering this sad time and feeling a little bit of mourning for those people, or like a little grief for them. And I think I'm also, that is happening over like some sort of background excitement for being in this process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how much that is like, yeah, I have stories about the impact that's making.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get ready to switch to Jonathan sharing, but take a couple more breaths just to kind of get completion on what was just shared. And then when you're ready, Jonathan, I'm going to ask you to share the incident and the body sensations, feelings, and story.
Okay. So I'm thinking back to a somewhat recent event. I had just gotten back from spending time with a mutual friend. The two of us were working on establishing a dyad practice as two friends, me and him. And I was just talking about that to you. I had come back and you revealed upset that you were experiencing. Um, Yeah, so the physical sensation that gripped me was sort of like, I almost think of it as this like internal yank that happens. It's like a cranky thing. It's like I get yanked into like this, like, it's like the desire to stomp your foot or something, you know? It's that feeling inside, like, rrr. That was my physical sensation. I had this kind of wave. It's almost like a frustration, like, ah, yeah. I think the story that I had around all that was like something about like, I can never get it right. It'll always, you know, like, oh, she's mad again. Or like, she's upset again, not mad. And now I have to do something to, yeah, like now something's being demanded of me. Like, I have to come to the rescue over this. And yeah.
So, Jonathan, revealing this to Sai, how do you feel?
I notice I feel it isn't quite shame, but I feel some kind of like, yeah, I feel a little not proud or something about how I was triggered. And that is coming up. Like, I have a story that is an inappropriate response. And that story is arising with this emotion of, and shame is like too strong of a word, but it's like embarrassment. That's what it is. I feel embarrassed. Yeah, it's not shame, it's embarrassment. Yeah.
And would you like to hear your impact on Sai, any of that?
I'm feeling curious right now of your impact. I notice while I was disclosing it, I had a lot of, I don't know about curiosity, but like concern for impact.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that has a lot to do with my story, is that that is what the concern is out of, or the curiosity is out of concern.
Do you want me to disclose the impact?
Yes.
Okay. There's like, I'm finding myself in like a slight state of like some kind of like tightness or activation that feels like sort of just maybe leftover from that day. But hearing you, the way that you disclosed it just now, like, didn't have, it felt very kind of clean and neutral. And like, it was the way that I was tracking, it was like, that is how I remember it. That is how, but I didn't have like an attached, it wasn't like a re-triggering feeling at all. It was just like, I think I'm also just struck in this moment of how not charged I am compared to how charged I was that day, like the intensity of emotion versus hearing it again and then checking in and being like, am I having that same reaction? And I'm not. And then I'm also, I like Yeah, I just feel like really grateful. Mm. That feels very true. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now let's just take another deep breath. We're going to go to the next piece.
Okay.
Ready to shift a little bit. So it's going to be a little more of a three-way discussion for a minute here, where you just reflect that same incident. What did you do? And so you can talk about what you did, or maybe you didn't do anything visible and so forth, but you know, anything else you want to say about it. So you're just reporting it, and we may dialogue a little bit about it, but basically, what did you do in that instance? So maybe you go first.
Mm-hmm. What I did in the instance was I left the room, and at first I kept like pushing. I kept kind of like trying to clarify, get more information, re-explain what I was trying to say. And then I pouted. Like, so then I left the room and was like in a pouting mode, you know. Also, there was, I'm trying to remember, because I know there was an attempt around giving myself compassion that was somewhat of a failed attempt. Like I remember laying down on a couch and like doing the process, and then getting back into the, you know, just getting pulled right back into the emotionality and the trigger. And then it went on for so long, for hours, and all the way to the airport, in the airport, it just kept going on and on. And then that kind of turned into a sort of feeling of collapse of sorts, just kind of like giving up. And I mean, just for added context, as this was happening, Jonathan was getting like, he was sick, and he was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And so it kind of just ended up like dissolving into like, Jonathan is extremely sick and needs to be like, like we need to deal with him being incredibly ill, and we have to take this, like, you know, go back to the United States, go through customs. Like that just became the bigger issue. But yeah, so I did the questioning and the kind of pushing, and then removing myself, but like out of pouting, not out of like, I'm going to go give myself compassion. It, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. So as I'm listening to you, it's easy to have empathy for what you were going through. How about you, Jonathan, as you're listening, I mean, from the place that we're all here now, observing and remembering, and like how did it feel to you to hear Sarah describing her first pushing, and then kind of a pouty withdrawal, and then a collapse? What came up for you, thoughts or feelings, or any kind of impact that had for you?
As someone who has pouted and as someone who will pout, I'm sure, again in the future at some point, I understand that to be a lonely place to be. Mm-hmm. And in a very isolated place, and a difficult loneliness and isolation to get out of. So in that way, it can feel very trapped. And I really was connecting to that sense of how lonely you must have been.
Anything you want to say, Sarah, I mean, Sai, in terms of...
Yeah, hearing that,
I feel that type of thing.
Yeah, it's funny, that sentence stem was revolving in my mind, and I was like, it's been silent a really long time. Hearing that, I feel like so deeply understood. Yeah, I mean, in a way that is surprising, because this was so many months ago, and yeah, it's like, oh, like I have this sense of like, it feels so nice that there's like, we're able to have this conversation and it feels so clear and clean. And then to have you understand like what that might've been like for me is like just this deep sense of goodness. I don't know. Yeah. Like warmth. Yeah.
All right. So Jonathan has received that. Let's take a deep breath, and it's going to be Jonathan's turn in a minute, and I'll ask you the question again. So, Jonathan, in that incident that you described about Sai's upset, what did you do? What was your, we call it the reactive behavior?
Regarding, yeah, this incident.
Well, I'm regarding the one that you brought up where you
mine. Okay.
Like, what your, did her buddy I... and you started reporting it to her, and then she showed some kind of upset that then triggered you to want to fix it or do more.
Yeah. I noticed my memory. It's a little foggy. That's interesting. I do remember the first thing I think I did, Sai, when you started crying, is I kind of like made an attempt to comfort, like to hold you. And then we went inside. What I remember is us sitting on the couch, kind of on opposite ends, facing each other. And we kind of dived, if I remember correctly, we kind of dived right into trying to be present with what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that my recollection is after the initial wave of anger, you were crying. So I like went into caretaking mode. And then when we went to the couch, I had anger come up and stories around why I was angry, like justification for why I was angry. And then I had this sense, this story that you were wanting something from me. And I felt like totally brain dead to what it is would be wanted of me or what I could do. I just felt like I have this like this layer of anger that I can move past. It wasn't like I was seeing red with it, like, you know, like I couldn't do anything but be angry. It was like there was this layer of anger. And then if I tried to go past it, it was just like, I don't know. I'm like numbed out. It was like, I could be angry or I can be numb right now. And you got to just tell me what you need. And that felt unavailable or something. So yeah, I was kind of like, moving between I can be angry or I can just kind of be blank.
So we'll let Sai share impact, and then I'm going to say a couple things.
Share impact of, like, from the time or?
No, right, just what he just now said that you heard him say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the impact is that it's in, as I'm listening to you, I'm like really seeing what it was like for you. Like, I have this very, like, such a much clearer sense of what that moment was like for you than I did at the time. And yeah, I feel like that this is like data and information that is extremely valuable to have. So I feel really, I feel very glad to have that information. Yeah. Yeah. I was like listening to him, I'm like, he's stating it so clearly. Like, that is so, oh, like what it must be like to be in that state. And I can relate to what it's like to be in that state, like angry and confused or numb or, you know, yeah. So thank you.
So in one sense, we could say we've done the exercise, but I want to add another piece on here, not for you guys to do, but just to reflect on. But basically, you reflected on a specific incident, and it's good to do this exercise with several different incidents and see if there's a pattern. See if that story, Sai, of, gee, I'm afraid we're on different pages with regard to, you know, how we hold this relationship, level of commitment, and so forth. Oh, that does that theme, is that a familiar theme with all of them? And then your way of taking care of that feeling, thought, story, was what your reactive behavior. So your reactive behavior is some way of, we could see it as some way of not of, of managing the pain, you know, getting away from the pain. Just that. So our normal patterns of doing that and getting more, you said one of yours, Sai, is trying to clarify, pushing, getting more information, you know, how very common that one is, right?
As I was saying the words, I was like, I'm pretty sure these are like written in Susan Campbell's book. like almost perfectly.
Yeah. No, they're so classic, really.
Classic.
So you know you are kind of normal with regard to this stage of evolution with human couples.
Yes.
such a theme. And then if we look at Jonathan, your reactive behavior, one of the things that I'm interpreting on that is, you know, giving comfort sounds like the right thing to do, but the pattern of I got to do the right thing, kind of, isn't there something you revealed something about a fear that I can't get it right, and also that wanting to do something to have her be not upset so you can feel good again or something. You know what I mean? So that's, we're just reflecting on what are we trying to protect ourselves from? What's the core fear? And so that's a little beyond the trigger signature exercise, but to take a look here at what core fear, you know, these are just words that they don't do justice, but it helps to have labels and words because then you can use those in your repair, like, because that's the need or the fear that you need to be reassured that that's not really true. Like, I need to feel like I'm a priority to you, or I need to feel like I'm important, or I need to feel that I am enough, that what I offer is received and accepted. So those would be my version of the core needs that would come out. And what would you say the core fears might be? I can give you some vocabulary, you know, like fear of not being good enough, not fear of abandonment, rejection, being invisible. That's what I mean by fear. Can you name what you think the fear might be in your own case?
I'm like wanting to make sure here because I've done a lot of work around core fears, you know, and so I have like knowledge that I have a very strong fear of abandonment and that leads to a desire to control. I don't know. It's like, that seems like the easy answer. I think in this case, yeah, it was, especially given the circumstances and the context, like I was at my dad's house, you know, for the first time in many years seeing him and like that whole thing was there. And so, yeah, fear of abandonment, but also like fear of missing something. Like that is seems like, I don't know what category that falls into, but fear of missing something is something that comes up all the time for me.
Yeah. Like I like what you said in terms of like the fear of abandonment is kind of an easy label. And I think it's good for people to, you know, identify with that one. But what we want to get to and what you were doing was get to the feeling tone. Let's not be too glib with my words, missing something. Or like he's over there and I'm over here would be a kind of a spatial thing. Sometimes I think spatially, you know, like I'm left out of something.
Right.
But then if I go deeper in myself, so I'm projecting onto you, I'm alone.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, am I all alone in this relationship? Am I the only one that feels this way? You know, that I'm projecting that out of my own personal experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So
take what works from that for yourself.
Thank you. Yeah.
So then using the label like fear of not being good enough or something, which is the most common one for a partner who is got abandonment fears, frankly, you know, just why? What's nature doing to us? But you know, nature wants us to heal sort of the male female kind of split that you know we've been conditioned into too, perhaps.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, the whole purpose of life and nature, but it seems like larger and larger holes. Healing is one of the purposes. So what do you reflect on now, Jonathan, about your core fear?
Yeah, I notice I'm having difficulty where I'm walking up to my anger and intellectually I could say maybe if we pull down that anger, I'm feeling like inadequate to do the right thing or like, yeah, maybe just inadequate. Or like exhausted. I'm trying to think of a real fear. I notice I have stories coming up too about what difficulty finding the fear, like It means there's probably a lot. The fear here is probably there's a lot of work to be done. Yeah, because I'm trying to like peek behind that anger, and I feel a lot of frustration there. Maybe there's like stories of like it's not fair or something. Yeah, I feel like I could use some help.
Yeah, something's coming to me actually, and I don't know if this is true for you, but tell me. No matter what, I'm afraid that no matter what I do, I can't really affect the outcome.
Yeah, that resonates with me. Yeah, that there's just like here we are again. Yeah. I notice I even have like a gender dynamic built in my mind of like a woman crying that I have to solve a problem for. There's like this, it like starts to zoom out to just this dynamic that exists in my life. Yeah, it like depersonalizes and becomes this like force of nature that I have to deal with or something.
Yeah. Well, I did see the sort of universal themes at this stage of human evolution. You two couples kind of represent, I mean, you two individuals as a couple representing certain themes like controlling emotions, or managing, managing messiness, in the culture. I won't say more about that because that's a whole other
podcast.
Yeah.
Theme. But your ability to kind of sense into what the frustration feels like, and you just found some words, and when you go into letting yourself sit with those sensations and feelings. And maybe I think that might be where we would close this off today, is each of you did get a sense of the experiential aspect of your core fear. And can we each hold that with some tenderness right now? Like, yes, that is some motivational force in me, along with a whole lot of other motives, but this is something I need to own. It's part of me. And then I want to just be the voice of inside of each of you. And when I revealed that, my partner seemed to accept me. I felt connected to me, which is like no surprise for this audience.
Yeah. I think of that whole process. That's what really struck me was like, it was like peering into Jonathan's world. Like I really had aha. Even though we hadn't yet located the core fear, it was like him just being able to describe it to me now was just so, and it just gave me such insight. Yeah.
I'm noticing there's, like returning to, say like the Costa Rica day where that's like 6 months ago. And we can have more clarity about our triggers after like a break, like a 3 hours or 8 hours, but 6 months, it's like I can really approach that with nothing but compassion for you. And there's a way that coming back to these trigger events, not just to do some repair in the fallout, but really coming back when we feel really distant from it, I think gives me spaciousness to really understand you.
Yeah. That's exciting.
That's exciting.
I'm excited too. In a discovery process, and I learned something just now, listening to what you each said.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's it, folks.
The container is now closed.
Yeah, so actually, in the weeks since we recorded this episode, Cy and I have seen these triggering patterns show up in kind of a range of points in our life and have continued to do work excavating and
mapping,
triggering, lots of triggering, tranquiling.
So much tranquiling.
So it goes to show you that I think taking this stuff seriously and just doing the work with your romantic partner can just be so valuable on your path.
So go to susancampbell.com to learn more. Sign up to the newsletter. Book a coaching session with her. She even has free coaching sessions once a month that you can sign up for. To learn more about the relational arts, go to our website, www.thecontainerpod.com.
That's right. There you can check out our knowledge base, learn yourself something. You can find links to our social media. You can also find links to our Patreon, where you can become a patron and support us with small monthly donations.
And we have a nice way of closing.
Keep it namaste, folks.